I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Ruthless Aggression. We just wrapped up with Money in the Bank, so let's chat about it. I am Pierce. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robin O'Neill 31, and Chris is at Chris M. Novak. That was an all-across-the-board fun show. I mean, We feel like we're used to it over the last couple of international shows, but that was gorgeous in the UK.
Yeah, and that's really the thing. Like, we talked about it after Backlash. Like, you know, they're going to these shows that markets that don't get these big shows like that. You know, they get TV or, you know, occasionally, or house shows and whatever. But yeah, you give them a big show, you get the audience like this. It really plays a part, man. It was a really cool environment, and I thought the show itself was quite good as well.
Absolutely was, and you know, the meat of it all was Bloodline Civil War, and big fight feels aren't necessarily prevalent in professional wrestling nowadays, and it was all over last night. Usos getting the first pinfall victory over Roman since Baron Corbin, and I think December 2019, so damn near 4 years since Roman had actually been pinned, and it was a moment, and they built to it, and they hit all of the little shit. Right? They hit all of the little shit leading up to the moment where Jay finally gets that pinfall. And like I said last week, like, it wasn't going to matter if the Usos won and they pinned Solo. They had to pin Roman. It had to be Jay pinning Roman. And it had to be, you know, an incredible moment. And they made it so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the thing about them pinning Roman, like, a lot of people be like, oh, the first person to pin him should be the person that takes the title from him. But, like, I don't think when someone finally does take the title from him, anyone's going to look back and be like, that was less impactful because he got pinned in the Usos match. Like, I think this was a case where, like you said, you know, it needed to be Roman. You know, pinning Solo, it just would have been just like the Sammy and Kevin match from Saudi Arabia, which it couldn't be the exact same, you know. So if Roman and Solo were going to lose, Roman did have to take the pin. I think he knew that too. And yeah, it was great stuff, man. You know, they got time, obviously. Like, I think we all kind of thought they would, but... But I mean, they made the most of it, and it was a, like I said, great environment, incredible pre-match video. It's a great time, great match.
Yeah, I felt that was the fitting way to do it. Roman had to be pinned for that to resonate. It was not going to be as impactful or meaningful, or, you know, they wouldn't have caused such a reaction if they just pinned Solo. And it's like, I know he's there, quote unquote, to be that, but you're not gonna cause anything except more prolonging if you just have Roman keep avoiding getting pinned. It's been 3.5 years. He can afford one. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that long run Becky went on when she went 2 years without getting pinned, the only person that got hurt was Asuka, but she still got her. It still happened.
Mm-hmm.
So these things, you know, the person, you know, who's the top guy does need to take the fall every now and then, and Roman has avoided that, but now he can take the fall and now make him look more vulnerable, make the whole story around him look
vulnerable. They I was telling my girlfriend that last night, man. Like, it's unforeseen in this day and age for someone to not take pinfalls, even if it's, you know, they'll do a match between the two participants that's going to be in the championship match. He's defending as the number one challenger in a random singles match on Raw, and a fuck finish happens, and he takes the pinfall and loses that match, mm-hmm. but it doesn't hurt him because he's still winning the championship. Roman didn't take a pinfall since beyond, you know, him becoming who he is right now, and it's so rare to not only see that, but see it done effectively. And they've been able to perfectly build everything up until the point where Roman finally loses. And, you know, of course, he still got the championship and all that. But like you said, Chris, he's vulnerable now. We know he's vulnerable. And even the reactions during the main event, you know, when they did the spike him and spear him and stack mm-hmm. him. And they kicked out, and the look on Roman's face, but not only the look on Roman's face that was so reminiscent of how he looked in the early days when he was going at it against Jay, but the look on Solo's face, like, yes. Bro, what the fuck is you on? You the yep. top dog, and I'm the one here that's got to handle this shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been perfectly laying the seeds for everything, and it's so rare to see it not only done, but to see it done effectively.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, the crowd for that match in particular, they were good all night, but, like, that's what I think we were kind of expecting in Montreal for the Sami Zayn match, and they got there to some extent, but, like, this crowd for the entire 30 minutes just kicking the shit out of Roman and Solo.
It's a different vibe, you know, and, like, I love the crowd, obviously, leading up to it, but that's when they went full soccer mode.
Yeah,
full football fan mode with a chance, and if you hate Roman, stand up, and Roman sits down. Started talking to Paul was precious. You know, we talk about crowds enhancing matches and events, and of course we'll talk about when we mention Cena later, but you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what a crowd's supposed to do. Crowd's supposed to, you know, enhance everyone else and make everyone else better and enhance the show. And they didn't take over. They were part of it. You know, they understood the point and the mission of this match was to give Roman all the hell that he can possibly muster and to be behind the Usos. And, you know, credit to all four, and even Paul outside the ring, all four played the part. As a matter of fact, even give the referee credit, because, like, you know, bullshit referee bumps happen. He popped up at the perfect time. Oh, you stacked them? I guess I have to go in for a pin. Yeah, no, give everybody credit for doing an amazing job and the storytelling and telling the story of the bloodline. And, you know, the Usos reign supreme right now. The Usos are the ones. The main question now is, where do we go from here? We got another pay-per-view in about 33 days in Detroit, SummerSlam. Roman's going to need a championship match. He hasn't had a championship match since WrestleMania, and this is the second biggest show of the year. So I think the logical place to go is Jay versus Roman, but I could see some way that Jimmy gets into that, and I can also see Solo being into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, look, fuck it. Let's create some dissension between Solo and Roman, and let's make this shit a four-way. I would love that.
That'd be really cool. I think that is definitely a possibility. I mean, you know, there's obviously, you know, we've seen Drew come back now. He's not going to be the guy. But, you know, there's a lot of whispers about Randy Orton maybe coming back, and he still has unfinished business with Roman, so maybe they pivot to that. But, like, I don't know what the Usos do at SummerSlam then, because then they'd just be, like, in a regular tag match, and, you know, it kind of feels like they need to still be around Roman, so the four-way kind of makes more sense. But, I mean, they are at MSG on Friday, so clearly they could do something big, you know. It's going to be interesting. I genuinely don't know what the SummerSlam match is going to be, because, you know, he's got to defend the title. You can't do a tag match in, you know, a U.S. football stadium show. I don't think that's fine when you go to these other places, because, you know, they're just excited to see Roman. But I think, you know, in a show that you're putting on the level of WrestleMania, you know, it does need to be an actual title match. And I think it's going to, just we don't know the path yet.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it'll probably just end up being Roman and Jay. Just because I think they made a big deal about Jay being the one to pin him. I know that they obviously done that, and we've obviously said that we would make it Roman and Jimmy, but if they were doing Roman and Jimmy, I think they probably would have had Jimmy pin Roman. They were probably going to do it with Jay. I'm fine with that. You know, we're going back to the roots of this. I don't think Jay's going to take the title from him, but they're going to surely do a lot to make you think that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could make for a really dramatic match at SummerSlam, which will probably be really fun.
It will sure be a fucking time. That me thinking like, damn, I want to go to Detroit. the answer is no, but I will be there. I'll be rooting for Jay, and you know, I think we're still building towards that rematch at WrestleMania next year. But you know, beyond that, we might know where WrestleMania 41 is gonna be. And I'm mad that I didn't catch it as it was happening. We had just gotten home and we were like trying to rewind to see the end of the Cody match. And so we missed the initial come out of Cena. So we had to rewind and then we rewound again so we can hear the crowd pop. John Cena came back for a one-off last night and showed, you know, gave his appreciation to the London crowd and was very much hyping up WrestleMania going overseas and going to London. I think it's a formality. I think they've already decided that WrestleMania 41 is going to be in London. They just they're teasing it. They're not announcing it yet, but you know, I think it's solid. And just how fucking fun would that be?
I think they're going to do something. I don't know if Mania is coming yet. I think, because if I remember correctly, I don't know if anything changed. I know they said that Minnesota was in the running for 41. I know they awarded Nashville one already for their new stadium in 2027. I think it wouldn't be out of the question to suggest maybe SummerSlam goes there first to try. You know, this was the test balloon. They'll do a bigger test balloon in a stadium, and then they'll really go massive for it one day. But it's definitely going to happen. I think that's definitely going to happen, and they're going to continue to go global. They're probably going to end up doing a show in Paris one day. They're going to probably do some, maybe an event in Germany, maybe, you know, even they trek into Asia. But this is more part of just a...
Shock, they haven't done Asia already.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, like, I know the time change is what it is, but you have the network now. People can just watch it as it airs, or you know, they can just watch it later when they get up.
Even with that said, with the network change or the time change, how many people in this country in droves watch soccer in Europe?
Yeah, that's true too.
We're all used to it by now.
Yeah,
there's plenty of people who are used to it.
If you put that event on, people are going to watch it. If they don't watch it live, they're going to find it the next day, the next morning,
because
there's going to be something big that happens on it. And plus, like for me, I don't think the time change is the problem. I think, you know, they might not feel that they can sell out the Tokyo Dome. I feel like they can absolutely sell out the Tokyo Dome if they can get a hold of Tokyo.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, as far as London goes, like, yeah, WrestleMania would be cool. It would be very neat to just have both days of Mania done by, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock too. That'd be really a neat thing. That was a cool thing about yesterday. I think SummerSlam is maybe more likely, but you almost have to do it at Wembley because, you know, football or soccer is starting back up and, you know, a lot of teams aren't going to let you use their stadium. So I guess, you know, maybe wait and see how All In goes at Wembley and kind of take some cues from them and maybe run Wembley next year. People will be annoying about it. People will be weird about it, but that's business. You know, if your competition does something, you see how it goes and you
and
do it as well.
Like the O2 is a fucking fine arena.
Yeah.
It's also a nice gigantic arena. They said the Money in the Bank was the highest grossing arena event ever. For WWE, so
that makes sense. Cause, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, and I like how they're doing now with the independent or the international shows. Man, we don't need these big ass sets. Why the fuck do we have a big ass set and we're going to the UK? No, simplify it. Get as many people through the door. Make it look as cool as possible. Yeah, we don't have pyro, but is it the worst thing in the world that we have to resort to fire? No. So, yeah, no, the crowd was fucking amazing. I think they deserve the Mania. I think there's only so few true destinations, right? A lot of people go to WrestleMania. We're going to WrestleMania for WrestleMania. We're not going to WrestleMania for the city that it's in.
Yeah.
So, like, exactly. to have a destination, a true destination, is something that...
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You need to be thinking about. Which Money in the Bank do you want to talk about first? Because I know which one I want to talk about first.
We'll march to your drum. Which one?
Yeah,
let's talk about that fucking Women's Money in the Bank, because those ladies killed it.
Yeah,
those ladies killed it.
They did a great job. And it was all six of them, really. Like, there are a couple of people in the match where you're like, well, we'll see what they can do. And you know, they really excelled. Zelina and Zoe having that one spot on the ladder was insane.
Shout out to Zoe. Go ahead.
Shout out to Zoe for taking it. Shout out to Zelina for getting in on these, you know, two massive shows in the past couple months. Mm-hmm. Like, after how everything went down when she left the first time, and, you know, she got her match cut at Madison Square Garden. She's having a good year, and it
was very easy for Zoe to kind of fade into the back. I mean, I understand she's got the shit with Trish, but it's kind of easy to her to fade in the background, just be like an ancillary player, and she looked like she belonged there. So,
yeah,
like,
she was working, man.
Mm-hmm. She was, yeah. She was.
And I thought the finish was awesome. You know, Io just kind of climbing over both of them. Mm-hmm. Hilarious visual. Right person won. Io seems to not know that Bailey pushed her off the ladder, which is going to be very interesting to follow. It's kind of, I think, what we all were hoping they would do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, just a great match, man. I loved it.
Yeah. I don't mean to come off sarcastic or snarky, but look what happens when you put six women who are pretty much unequal or better platitudes than others instead of having a mishmash.
Right,
You get an incredible match. This was the best Women's Money in the Bank by far.
Yeah.
I think 2018 was probably the leader, but this one surpassed it. I think they did a better job of telling stories in this match. The spots were better. The wrestling was just better. And that's what happens again when you put, you know, your big heavy hitters in a match like that. And I thought it was really cool because when Trish and Zoe put the handcuffs on Becky, the last thing that I anticipated was that being involved in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good way to, you know, keep us all on our toes. Like, okay, they're probably just going to handcuff Becky to the ring post, beat her up, and she's just going to be on the outside looking in. No. She was actually just used with the cuff because Io handcuffed her to Bailey when she climbed over the top.
Yeah.
For the record, that visual, very impactful because Io was climbing the ladder above over Bailey and Becky, two of the greats the previous era. She's standing on top of the ladder.
Yeah.
Good symbolism.
Exactly. And, good, you know, symbolism. Obviously she did the moonsault off the ladder. I think we all saw that coming. But
I'm only surprised that it happened in the ring. I thought she was going to hit it out of the ring. It was still really awesome.
Yeah, I don't know when Io's going to cash in. I hope it's when Asuka's still the champion, just so we can finally get that.
Here's the thing. I am somewhat convinced that Bailey's going to be doing one of two things. Firstly, they're definitely going to try to lay cool the briefcase in the sense that they're going to act like both of them have ownership, because during the press conference, they were like, mm-hmm. this is our briefcase.
Yeah.
So Bailey's definitely going to try and cash in, and she's going to be told that she can't do it because it's not her contract. So that's going to be funny. Secondly, I think that Bailey's probably going to try and snuff it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if she breaks it up and causes it to fail, that's different from anything they've done in the past, because all the cash in fails they've had have just been the person being a big pink loser.
Yes. No, that's right. And I mean,
but either way, very compelling stuff coming.
It's already, the second longest. Well, not yet, but it's on pace to be the second longest women's cashier briefcase reign by the end of the day today. So, you know.
Well, they only have an event in fucking Birmingham or Manchester, do they? Nah, they're all there.
No, right. No, they don't. They're done. See, that's,
it's not 24/7 rules at the moment.
No, it's not. And see, that's the thing. Like when it came to this, and also just the raw construction of the show, I wasn't upset that they did the Asuka Charlotte angle with Bianca on SmackDown. They didn't have anything for Rhea on the show because, listen, they did the same night cash-in thing three times since 2018. Nikki ASH cashed in the night after.
Dumb.
You gotta, because at some point it becomes derivative, and at some point it feels like you're literally only doing it to pop the crowd.
Right. So you can say, "Hey, we have some money in the bank too."
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, and that's the only one that I kept doing. So it's like, thank you for resisting the temptation to go for a same night cash-in again.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like I said last week, you know, I preferred the way that they staggered everything beyond, you know, your point, Chris. Like, it made SmackDown something to watch. It gave you something to watch on SmackDown. And it's like, that story with the three of them isn't close to being over. You do a title match that gets busted up. All right, so we're building towards SummerSlam. They did the Pretty Deadly and the Kevin Owens tag match, real fun for the time that it got. And that was something, a reason to tune in on Friday to lead into to the pay-per-view or the special event, the PLE or whatever they call it now. And now, you know, you're getting Rhea and Natty. I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I'm not gonna watch that. But you know, Rhea already had a role on this pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So why does she need to play double duty when you need her more to boost Raw? So, you know.
I am interested, just real quick, with regards to Rhea, like, where you guys think that's going for SummerSlam. Because they're going to do Trish and Becky again, I would imagine, as a blow-off. Raquel might be tied up now. I mean, unless Liv's not going to be on the show for SummerSlam, they're not going to do the women's tag titles, which, I mean, maybe. But other than that, I mean, Raw doesn't really... They have some people that they could heat up, but they have, what, 4 weeks to do it? Like, you could heat up someone like Piper Niven. She'd have a good match with Rhea.
They just teased Raquel. And I think
they did.
Considering the information that trickled out today about that tag team match and about the decision to do what they did, look, let's go back a year, I guess. It doesn't matter if a tag champ takes a pin to a champion.
No, it doesn't. But so I mean, you would think they'd want Liv on the show.
Sure, she could still be on the show. I mean, also they could defend their titles before that. They always do it. They always have a habit of, you know, making the weekend important. So.
That's true.
And also, for me personally, just to interject, I'm not the person who's asking for women's tag team titles to be defended on every freaking event.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I was just wondering, and I think Raquel's the right choice. I think their match in NXT was one of the only Raquel NXT matches I actually liked, and she's gotten better.
She's gotten much better.
I think that's the move. I just didn't know where you guys were on it.
Yeah, I think that's what they're ultimately going to do, because I think that, again, given the information, we'll get to that, it seems like this was the plan all, and the plot that they needed to take.
Let's talk about that quickly. We'll jump back to the other men's Money in the Bank, the women's tag match. I was genuinely shocked because I didn't think that this was the time that they needed to do the breakup of Rhonda and Shayna. I know they've been playing the video package is heavy of Rhonda saying, you know, Shayna, you need to be a killer, but you know, you could have eased off of that for a minute. I wasn't too much of a fan of it. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because the thing that happened that trickled out this morning that makes everything a little bit clearer, apparently Rhonda gave WWE a hard out, and they haven't negotiated an extension or a new contract or anything. They said it was supposed to happen in Mania, but I guess it was pushed off a little bit.
No, yeah, she was hurt.
She probably added time, but according to Meltzer, he said that the timing of the angle happened and that noted that Baszler versus Rousey is expected to take place sooner rather than later due to Rousey having given a WWE a hard out date. This was always the plan. It kept getting delayed and then Ronda got hurt. And the thing was, and I don't know the date, and it might be SummerSlam, it might be a little bit after. The deal is that Ronda has a hard out. She gave a date. This is my last date. Because remember, I was talking to somebody there and it's like, well, they were going to do this and I guess make the big match for Mania. And it's like, no, her hard out is... They didn't give me the date, but it's long before WrestleMania. They wanted to do a feud. The whole tag team was to set up Ronda and Shayna doing a feud. Ronda wanted to do this feud with Shayna, and she got what she wanted. She always wanted to do it because Shayna is the one who basically got her into pro wrestling.
I mean, that's cool at least, but like...
Yeah, to me, that is what it is.
Yeah.
If they have to deal with somebody who is literally saying, I'm not coming back, this is my last date, you need to work around that.
And yeah, I mean, obviously, Ronda's not hurt at Mania. They win the tag titles there. You probably get some more time to kind of flesh this out and build some cracks and all that. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
It didn't take away from the match because I thought the match was really good for what they were, you know, given. They were given some good time. How long was that match?
9 minutes.
9 minutes? You know, that's pretty solid. That's pretty solid. I wasn't expecting like a 15, 20-minute epic. But 9 minutes for a pay-per-view tag team match that was just added to the card a week before, it's a good time. Time champ now. Liv and Raquel, you know, they've gotten some good chemistry. And they're going to do this Ronda Shayna thing, and I guess Ronda's on her way out. So it is what it is, and my only thing is, it's very funny to me that they were talking all that nonsense only for this to happen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like knowing that now, I'm like less upset if we know that, you know, Ronda's kind of done. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, I'm gonna miss Ronda Rousey. I'm not.
Yeah.
And that's like no disrespect to her. It just wasn't working, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
she understands it's only going to be a certain way. You know, I think she still kind of stamped herself possibly a future Hall of Famer off of name and impact.
Mm-hmm.
She can go do some other shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe she is better served as, like, a, you know, part-timer at this point where she, you know, trains for 3 months for a Mania match. You know, they send whoever she's working out there and they kind of go through it all. And, you know, kind of like they do with Undertaker later on. Like, I don't know that she needs to be entirely done, but,
is she thinking of a comeback?
Yeah, I don't.
She's
36.
Nunes just left.
I will say, maybe she has the acting bug again. I have no idea. She did the show with Fox and Mars. I don't know.
Yeah,
one thing or whatever. But
the problem with the acting was she wasn't very good at it.
Yeah,
but
that doesn't. When is that ever stopped anyone?
I was going to say, you're doing shit like Fast and Furious. You really got to be a good actor.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true.
Not be doing
anything.
But I'm saying, thinking about it now, I'm just like. She seems like Byron Buxton is hitting 208. That's crazy.
Yeah.
301 open. Oh, God. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, Ronda seems like a person that, like, holds shit. Holds on to shit. And I'm sure she holds on to how her UFC career ended. And it didn't end particularly well. Kind of tarnished.
Yeah, but I mean, like, coming back would be bold because the book's kind of out on her.
Right, but hey, she seems like a person that wants to be a George Foreman type. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I wouldn't put it out the realm of possibility that she, you know, come back, do a match or two, maybe try to reclaim her title and ditch it and be like, hey, I'm still that bitch. I don't know. I know, like, nobody looks at her as the, you know, the greatest. Nobody will, because Nunes did things that, you know, men in martial arts, you know, haven't done. But hey, maybe she knows that her reputation kind of took a little bit of a hit, and this might be her one chance, if there is a chance, to put some respect back on it. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, this is a pretty big spot for Shayna though. If Shayna's gonna, you know, retire or send her from the territory or whatever, like, this is kind of the big spot that we've been waiting for Shayna since, you know, for a long time now. So hopefully, you know, they can do something with that.
Yeah, and they're Raw superstars, right?
They
got drafted to Raw, I want to say.
I'm trying to think, because they had the tag titles, Ronda and Shayna.
Yeah, they're both on Raw.
Okay.
Both on Raw. So that's going to be the B non-title feud on Raw.
So yeah, I can absolutely see Shayna getting that rocket and possibly being that one to you know, be next to Rhea.
Yeah, she could work Rhea. That'd be a fun match.
They could definitely work that. There's a lot of history there dating back from NXT. So if Shayna eventually takes care of Ronda, I hope that they do that in a fight pit, by the way. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
She had that lock on her yesterday, I was like, that's my bitch.
The fight pit would actually be pretty cool because obviously they can play off of Ronda's exit from UFC and whatnot, be like it's a house of horrors for her.
Yeah.
Shayna's a very interesting possibility. Yes, they're both on Raw.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to the Money in the Bank and do the men's one. I called it. I'm very proud to say that I called it. I just looked around the landscape. Butch wasn't going to win, but Butch was going to get the hometown sympathy. LA Knight was the favorite, and he was going to be the fan favorite, but I think there's bigger plans for LA Knight than Money in the Bank. Logan Paul, I would have shot myself in the foot if it was Logan Paul. Wasn't going to be Ricochet, wasn't going to be Santos, and wasn't going to be Shinsuke. Who does that leave? Damian Priest.
That was pretty much it.
I didn't have sound for the match because I was watching it inside of a Dave and Buster. So it's like there's only much that I could say about it. It looked like it was fun on the TVs. But like at the end of the day, Right Man won. I'm not really too thrilled about, you know, the ending of the World Heavyweight Championship match, but I understand it.
So that's fair. Is it worth going to Dave and Buster's for one of these? I always want to do it.
Okay. I mean, if you want food, you know, like I had to ask, like, hey, can y'all put this on TVs and get shit popping? Because it was lazy, but, you know.
That's fair.
I put it like this. For a crowd like yesterday, I needed to be back home, and I knew I needed to be back home. And I got back home by the time Cena came out, and I was very glad I was home.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it more like LA Knight, I know everyone wanted him to win. He should probably just beat Theory, to be honest with you, because if he wins, then he's got to cash in on Roman, and he's not gonna. You know, I get it. I do. And he's got a new shirt now. They're clearly getting him some more merch. They're heating him up. You know, Logan Paul, I think, as far as the visibility thing goes, it would have made sense, but he probably would have just cashed in. They would have done him and Seth at SummerSlam, which whatever. They had a good match at Mania. I liked it, but, like, I'm fine that he didn't win. So, yeah, it does kind of just leave Priest. When you put it that way, they're clearly very high on Judgment Day, and for good reason.
Yeah, and the Priest thing has been a two-plus year, you know, project. I mean, if you take
the time... Yeah, it was in the U.S. title match when we were at SummerSlam.
And even then, like, okay, his career in WWE and the project started with Bad Bunny.
Hold on, who did he face at SummerSlam? I don't remember.
He faced Sheamus and...
Why don't I remember that?
I don't remember that.
That match was good. I don't remember. I think it was in a triple threat. I think it was just a straight match of him and Sheamus.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even remember that.
He beat Sheamus for the title.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that.
It was after Alexa and Eva.
I kind of remember that now.
I was looking at the show the other day. I don't remember much of it either.
I was just happy to be back into an arena with people.
This has been a long project with him. And they've obviously done even more with him this year, arguably. I mean, they had the Bad Bunny match.
Mm-hmm.
They kept him away from Mania for the second straight year. So they're protecting him even from losing at WrestleMania, which is, you know, he'd like to probably work there. But there you go. He was the closest to the pin, and they gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I get the idea that, you know, the match with Finn and Seth was interrupted by his presence, but I think... Honestly, I think Seth is going to be feuding with Judgment Day for most of the summer and fall at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
That's fair.
But they also told you, you know, they also proved to you right away why it should go to Priest with that match, because with Knight, it's like he doesn't have anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, he doesn't have anything going on. It would just be a walk to the top for him, and to be honest with you, you can do that without the briefcase, so he doesn't just lose matches while he has the case.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going to lose matches, and, you know, I'd be on here saying, you know, it's not a big deal, blah, 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 but, you know, you can take him away from that. And most of all, please beat Theory, because Theory's not even showing up on the show anymore.
I think Carlito's going on Friday. I really do.
You really think so?
I do. Yep. I think that's how they're going to bring him back in.
That'd be so cool. I'm sorry.
We'll see, but I mean...
That'd be so cool. Pun intended.
Yeah.
Pun very intended.
Although I will say, if Austin loses that strap, he's going right back to the bottom of the card.
Yes, he is.
Not only that, Grayson Waller did Austin Theory better than Austin Theory does Austin Theory.
Yep,
and people joked about that for a little while. I felt like that, where they were trying, you know, to maybe force it. He did,
but I'm sitting there listening to him, and I was like, he's at least got a twinge of charisma to him.
Yep,
like I'm sitting there like, yeah, I kind of like this kid. I didn't really fuck with Grayson Waller in NXT, but I'm sitting there like, Austin Theory can do that?
Yeah.
Austin Theory, I think, is better in the ring. I think he's more physically gifted. Like, I trust the kid moving forward, but, like, fucking Tofu.
Yeah. Grayson Waller had that segment with Shawn Michaels leading up to WrestleMania that got, like, 15 minutes. And ever since then,
also,
he's just been cooking.
Also, at that point, was the peak of viewership this year, too.
Yes.
That got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I mean, he had me convinced he was going to have a match with Shawn Michaels. So, yeah, he's very good. But, yeah, I think he's going to work Edge at SummerSlam. I mean, Edge, they're doing the Grayson Waller effect on Friday. So
they got to do something. I know that they've been doing this because he had a knee injury.
Yeah.
Broke his knee clean or something in the Braun match, Vengeance. But it's like, my God, Grayson Waller effect show after Grayson Waller effect show after Grayson Waller effect show.
Yeah, but you think...
Hopefully do something with one of these.
One with Edge in the garden, you would think.
Yeah, you would think. I hope that this is the setup, since he kind of wink-winked at us with his knee when he was doing those squats or whatever yesterday.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I mean, some people thought, like, oh, maybe he'll face Cena. I think that was mostly just, like... I mean, obviously Cena trying to get WrestleMania over there, but it was like
it was one of those
the segments they used to do at WrestleMania, where the legend would come out and you'd have a heel come out and legend would hit their stuff. And I mean,
that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. They don't really do them anymore, so I was surprised.
Get the younger's heels over, you know, maybe set something up. Maybe Cena and Grayson Waller do something later down the line. I don't know, but...
You immediately, you planted a seed so that if you do, it's there.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. They did that with Theory and Cena last year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, couple more matches. Cody and Dominic was what it was.
I mean, yeah, it was what it needed to be. Like,
Cody,
I kind of...
It's Cody on the card.
I thought we'd see Brock, but, you know, after Cena came out, I was like, well, maybe they'll just save Brock for Monday because he's advertised anyway. And Drew had come out already, too. So
that's
like,
the thing, too. Because it's like, I was expecting Brock to show up also, but to me, it was like, okay... They brought out Cena, and they also did the post-match confrontation with Gunther and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you don't have a lot of inventive ways that you can do this without it looking kind of repetitive. And you also did the surprise turn in the tag match, and you technically did have a surprise winner in Priest.
Plus,
so,
I mean, he's booked for tomorrow anyway. So
he's booked for tomorrow in Baltimore anyway, so he'll be on the show. Cody and him will confront each other. Hopefully we get some build to a bull rope match.
That's what it seems like. That'd be cool. I think Gunther and Riddle was good. I would have actually liked it to be a little longer. I was enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it was what it was. You know what Gunther's going to do at this point. The match with him and Drew will be interesting because it's going to be right up, if they do it at SummerSlam, which I imagine they will, it's going to be right up like a week before the Honky Tonk Man record. So at this point, you might as well just break it. But, like, I don't get the point of Drew coming back to losing an Intercontinental title match. So it's going to be interesting.
So SummerSlam, it would be a week before
he
I think about a week before.
It's sometime in August.
Break it. Fuck
yeah, him. I mean, at this point, like, you should. I didn't care, you know, a few months ago. But now when you're... Let's see. What is he at today?
And I don't think Drew needs Intercontinental.
Yeah, today's at 385, so yeah, sometime in August. Maybe a little bit after August. I mean, but yeah.
And then the World Heavyweight Championship match, I'll be honest, I slept through it.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, it was a little disappointing.
I think that this is not the first round.
No.
I did not get one and done vibes from this match at all, especially considering that Priest and Finn were kind of starting to feud. I know we were talking, and I know that I suggested and I threw out the idea of, you know, a fatal four-way amongst the bloodline. I could potentially see a fatal four-way with Seth against all three members of the Judgment Day if they decide to pit them all against him. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
Why not all four?
I mean, I thought the ending was kind of weird. Like, I would have just not had Priest come out. I get why they did, but, like, Finn got distracted by him, but he wasn't even really looking at him. But, I mean, whatever. They're adding dissension there.
They have been doing that for a little while now, even before the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
You know, Finn was, like, side-eyeing Priest while he was talking about the title match and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because, see, you have to do this a little differently than last year when you had Bianca take on Damage Control, mostly Bayley. But the way that they're setting this up already with dissension in the ranks, it's going to make it different from a face challenger facing off against potentially three or four different heels.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
They've got some good stuff to possibly hold on to.
Yeah. I think we could finish out June. What do you think?
Yeah, we should be able to. What do we got, about 35? But yeah, we'll be all right.
Yeah, let's go ahead and finish out the month of June 2007.
Yes. Starting with top five songs. Down to number five, Makes Me Wonder. Up to four, Big Girls Don't Cry. Up to three is Buy You a Drink. Staying at two is Party Like Rockstar. Staying at one is Umbrella. Top five movies, down to five, Shrek the Third. Debuting at number four, Surf's Up. Down to three is Pirates of the Caribbean. Staying at two is Knocked Up. And debuting at number one is Ocean's 13.
I went to go see Ocean's 13. It wasn't nearly as good as the first two.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. I liked the first two, and then everyone was just like, the third one's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Raw, June 11th, 2007, from Wilkes-Barre. Vince on the screen. He's very upset. There's a draft tonight. It's Mr. McMahon Appreciation Night. Tonight will be the defining moment of his life.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Edge and John Cena are in a match, and the winner, their brand, gets the first draft pick. Cena went to hit the FU through the announce table, but Edge raked his eyes and pushed Cena onto the table and rolled back into the ring before the 10 count. So SmackDown gets the first draft pick, but it's not actually a draft. It's more just like a lottery, and they are awarded the Great Khali.
That's wonderful. That's a hell of a first pick.
Yeah. Right?
That's a Michael Lolo with candy right there. You could have got yourself Dirk Nowitzki or Paul Pierce.
They showed a little biography about Vince, and Jesse Ventura sent in a video. He will not call him Mr. McMahon. He's not earned the title, so Jesse will just call him McMahon like he used to do. It's remarkable. It's remarkable what Vince has done in WWE, but dictators always do remarkable things. WWE is not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. All dictators will fail.
These were great, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just all fucking phoned it in and be like, yo, this fucking person sucks. And Jesse was so good, too.
Coach announces Vengeance will be Night of Champions. Every title will be defended, and any former WWE champion can compete for the WWE title in the main event.
Wow, I wonder what they're trying to suggest here.
Mm-hmm.
We got another draft match between CM Punk and Carlito. It's nice to see Punk wrestle somebody who isn't in the new breed. Carlito hit a backstabber, Punk rolled out of the ring. Punk came in, hit the GTS. ECW was awarded with the Boogeyman, and we can tell we are knee deep into 2007. Snoop Dogg thanked Vince for everything that he's done in wrestling, and hopes John Cena whoops Vince's ass.
Mick Foley's here. He said he's going to be in the WWE Championship Open Challenge match of Vengeance for some reason. Speaking of Vengeance, Mick wants to talk about Vince. You know, they asked Hogan, Rock, Bischoff, Triple H, Michaels, Trish, and Dick Ebersol to send in videos tonight, and they all declined. Mick does not blame any of them. Fair. Umaga squashes Balls Mahoney, and Raw gets Booker and Charmel. So finally, someone actually good gets drafted.
Yes. You get Chris Benoit against Bob Lashley in a draft match, flying back and forth match. Lashley won, and Benoit went to ECW.
Yep.
Moving on. Trump said in a video.
I was going to go back because I was a little bit busy, but like significant the Booker going to Raw part.
Yes.
On two fronts. He hadn't been a Raw superstar in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, but kind of became a staple of SmackDown. Yes. During his time there. So Booker went back to Raw, but also this is the beginning of the end for Booker T in his current run.
Yep,
it is.
Doesn't last long on Raw.
Nope. We'll learn why. About 2 months.
Yes.
It's unfortunate. So Trump sent in a video and said that it was ridiculous for him to throw an appreciation night for himself.
Incredible.
Unbelievably aged.
Wow. I wonder who would do that. Who would do such a thing? Fuck off.
Ashley gave her comments via the big screen since Vince suspended her the other day, and she recounted all the times that he treated women poorly, and then Moolah and Mae Young came out and barked.
Talk about aging well.
Yeah.
If you thought the Trump one aged poorly, that one aged like... Holy shit. The milk is curdling.
Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy Snuka also has some comments. So, more from Jimmy Snuka later, inexplicably. MVP beats Santino. SmackDown gets Torrie Wilson. They don't really have a women's division, so I never really understood why they did that. Bret Hart sends in a video. Best way to show appreciation is to punch someone in the head. Snitsky squashes Miz but won't let up after the bell, so the ref reverses the decision. SmackDown gets Chris Masters.
SmackDown just being intentionally sabotaged.
What the fuck? This...
Yeah, it's not crazy.
So these were just, completely random, but like, they put no thought, zero thought into building their rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the fact that the mainstays are where they're going to be forever. Cena's going to be on Raw. Taker and Edge are going to be on SmackDown. Orton's going to be on Raw. They put zero thought into fleshing out the mid-card brands. Mm-hmm. Oh, Chris Masters on SmackDown. That'll get some excitement. Yeah. Fuck off.
It's so weird to me because, like, you know, people online and everyone were always like, yeah, you know, Vince hates SmackDown. It's so adversarial. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know how true that is, but you look into it, things like this, not even advertising that is for a long time. I don't know how many people really picked up on this. For a long time, they wouldn't even advertise SmackDown as SmackDown. It would just be a live event with TV cameras there on Tuesday nights.
They didn't want you to know it was taped.
That's the thing.
Yeah, like, I remember that. Like, I thought it was because it was taped.
Yeah, it's mostly that also, I imagine. But like, it's so, you see these things and it's like, well, maybe they did have a point that it was weirdly adversarial with SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just didn't give a shit about it. Like, it was another TV show for him, but, you know, the bread and butter. Because I'm like... UPN, My Network, CW, like, I'm pretty sure the funding for they weren't paying a shit ton for the show. You know, probably. it was just a means to get him on TV. Mm-hmm. Now it matters because they're getting billions and billions of dollars. But like, he clearly didn't give a fuck about SmackDown.
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby Heenan sent in a video, which is nice, even though he's starting to not be able to really talk anymore, which is a bummer. Roddy Piper's here. He plays a video of Vince's most embarrassing moments. Candace beats Crystal. Raw gives Bobby Lashley, so Coach comes out and strips him of the ECW title. It's actually a good draft pick for once.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Batista versus Jeff Hardy and Elijah Burke, another draft match. They don't get much time, but Batista pins Elijah Burke, and SmackDown gets Ric Flair.
They do, and that begins what could have been a decent run for him there on SmackDown, but it's mostly
just goes back to Raw in a few months.
Exactly, yeah.
Does the retirement stuff. Which,
yeah.
Lou Albano sent in a video. He's known Vince since he was a kid, and Vince is still a punk. Dusty and Mean Gene give their comments, and then we get a battle royal for the last two draft picks. Randy Orton wins it. So Raw gets the last two. They get Snitsky and Kennedy.
Jesus. And then Stone Cold has some comments about all the times that he kicked Vince's ass over the years. Vince finally made it to the ring. He said thank you. He walked in the back, walked by a creepy Paul London, by several other people. And the
Limo
blew up.
Limo blew up. Yep. Trump thought he was dead.
People were so weirded out that they called the ambulance and the police to the arena because they thought it was real. That's what I remember. It was very, like, it was so weird in the fact that, like, you knew it was fake, but it looked so real because they spliced it perfectly.
Yeah.
Kudos to WWE's editors because they spliced that shit perfectly.
Well, yeah, like we'll talk about when we get to the next couple shows. Like, they do them like actual, like, shoot tribute shows, too. So it's like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then it obviously gets significantly weirder. And, yeah.
Now, remind me, did Paul London immediately get fired after this? Or did it take some time?
I don't think so, because he has a match on Raw next week with Kendrick. I think he's there, like...
He's there for a little bit. I think people were being online. I remember people were like, oh, did he do it? The one who was smirking?
Yeah. He doesn't really do much.
I couldn't remember if he just got buried and then fired or immediately fired.
Yeah, I think he just gets buried for a while, which he does look ridiculous, so I get it.
Very funny.
What was the story? I forgot the story of why he did it.
Yeah, he's talked about it. I mean, he was just not happy there at that point, I don't think, just kind of fucking around all the time.
I don't really blame him for not being happy. Look what they were doing.
Well, yeah.
He was part of one of the best tag teams, and then...
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked about it when they brought him in. Like, he's the guy of all those ROH guys that you decide to bring in, and then you just don't really do anything with them. Like, yeah, I don't know. ECW from Philadelphia. Vince is dead. They did 10 bell salute to him. Tommy Dreamer beats Balls Mahoney. Boogeyman beats Matt Stryker. We get exclusive video of the firefighters putting out the fire in the limo. Benoit Punk team up against Elijah Burke and Monty Brown. We get very loud CM Punk chants.
Philly knows what they're doing.
They'll keep fighting. Will not adhere to the tag rules, and eventually the ref just calls for the bell, and they'll keep brawling to end the show. So we'll pick that back up next week.
Fine way to end that show.
Yes.
SmackDown from Philadelphia as well. They do a 10th bell salute for Vince again.
He's dead.
A lawyer made a brief statement at WWE headquarters about Vince being dead. Deuce and Domino defeat the previously aforementioned London and Kendrick to retain the tag team titles. William Regal thanked Vince for making him WWE commissioner, and it was a pleasure to kiss his ass. Teddy Long thanked him for making him SmackDown general manager. Then we got two matches. Matt Hardy defeated William Regal, and Batista defeated MVP. An investigator said that they will not answer questions about the incident at this time, and then Edge and Crystal both shared their thoughts about Vince. Leading into multiple matches, Jungwan Yang won a 1, 2, 3 fatal four-way to become the number one contender for the Cruiserweight title. He beat Jamie Noble, Shannon Moore, and Daivari. And then Ric Flair versus Edge main evented the show. Ric mostly was just punching and chopping him. It was a pretty good snug match. MVP came out, attacked Flair while he still had the figure four on him. They double-teamed him. Batista came out to help, but Edge speared him and left. And that was SmackDown.
All right. On to the next week.
Yes, top 5 movies in America. This is mostly, it looks like, one movie just knocked everyone down one pedestal. Surf's Up dropped from 4 to 5. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End dropped to 4 from 3. Knocked Up went from 2 to 3. Ocean's 13 went from 1 to 2. And making $77.4 million, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I knew it was a superhero movie, but I was like, what came out in the end of June 2007?
That one was actually not bad compared to Fantastic Four movies.
Well, yeah, compared to Fan Four Stick, whatever.
Fan Four Stick, yes.
I thought it was fine because I love Christian Troy as Dr. Doom, and I also love Lawrence Fishburne voicing the Silver Surfer. I don't remember it too much beyond like Kerry Washington and Michael Chiklis doing the deeds. I don't remember like too much about it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the original two movies though.
All right. Top 5 songs, exact same. Umbrella, Party Like Rockstar, Buy Your Drink, Big Girls Don't Cry, Makes Me Wonder.
Literally say that.
No movement.
No movement.
So we go to Raw from Richmond, Virginia. Mick Foley's here. Says the show must go on. Wants to apologize for some of the things he said last week. If he knew Vince was going to explode, he wouldn't have said those things. Vince did a lot for him in his career. Randy Orton comes out, says it's too late for that. Mick meant everything he said about Vince. Mick's just trying to clear the suspicion that he was involved with the tragedy. Randy's not accusing anyone. He's just stating the facts.
What an asshole.
Booker comes out, says there's a federal investigator here tonight that was speaking with Bobby Lashley for more than an hour. Booker says Lashley has the motive and the means. Lashley comes out, throws Booker out of the ring, and then John Cena comes out. Says this isn't Law and Order, it's Monday Night Raw. Cena should let the investigator do his job, and they should get on with the show. So Coach comes out, says that Cena and Lashley will take on Orton and Booker in the main event, and Mick Foley will wrestle Umaga.
Right.
Next week, the federal investigation will widen, and there will be a 3-hour tri-branded Raw. Also, yeah, there's a supplemental draft after the actual draft. We just run through that real quick. London and Kendrick went to Raw. Kenny went to SmackDown. Viscera went to ECW. Sandman went to Raw. Hardcore Holly went to SmackDown. Miz went to ECW. Daivari went to Raw. Major Brothers went to SmackDown. William Regal went to Raw. Victoria went to SmackDown. Jillian went to Raw. Eugene went to SmackDown. Nitro and Layla went to ECW. So, you know, more just kind of depth piece shuffling.
I think the three people who benefit the most from this And when I say three, it's technically four. The major brothers going to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Because it eventually leads to them joining up, becoming the Edgeheads, Ryder and Hawkins. And then both Nitro and Miz winding up on ECW. Obviously, it hits Nitro in the immediate, but it gives Miz an opportunity to grow as a performer. And eventually leads to a nice little triple threat feud with the two of them and them and CM Punk, and then Miz and Morrison as a tag team. So those are probably, honestly, if you want to kill it, those are the three who earn the most in the entire draft, and they happen to be supplemental.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So London and Kendrick take on the world's greatest tag team. Jerry Lawler wants to know why Paul London was smiling while Vince was walking to the back last week. A rare great point from Jerry Lawler.
What the fuck was he smiling?
Kendrick had sliced bread on Charlie Haas for the victory. World's greatest tag team. Just kind of a job team now. It's very sad.
Well, we're at least a little bit of a ways away from gold standard.
That's true. Right. Carlito's here. Says there's no one cooler than Vince. He's also happy that Ric Flair and Torrey Wilson got drafted to Raw, so not his problem anymore. Sandman comes out and points a cane at him, and Carlito leaves because he's afraid of the Sandman. I don't...
I hate this.
No.
Why would Carlito be afraid of the Sandman anyway?
He has a cane, and he makes himself bleed with the beer can. He's very tough.
I mean, yeah, he's also old.
Scary. Jeff Hardy beats Daivari and then dives onto Caden Murdoch after the match, Coach was yelling at someone on the phone. He has a meeting with Sheik Productions, and he gets off the phone and opens the door, and it's just the Iron Sheik who's just yelling at him the whole time, which I don't know why they did that, but it was funny.
Rest in peace.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess because Sheik and I guess there was a connection with Sheik and Vince.
No, that's true.
Ty Gresham interviewed Vince's limo driver who sent his best wishes to the family, and he was away from the limo talking to him.
We did not need to do that. That guy did not need to be on television.
No, we did not. Just like
The fucking federal investigator didn't need to be on television.
And also, just like that weird dude or whatever in the Mickey Trish feud.
Oh, yeah, Trish's boyfriend or whatever. That guy. Mick Foley and Umaga never really gets going because they just brawl outside the ring for a little bit, and then Foley tries to get a chair, and Umaga kicks it in his face and throws him headfirst into the steps, so Mick has a concussion going into the match. Should probably stop the concussion angles, but they will. Another limo is here. Very ominous. Just a white limo like Vince was in. No one knows who's in this one. Mick Foley gets checked by the doctor. The investigator would like to talk to him. Kennedy's here. Very sad. Vince was his friend. He's dedicating the rest of his career to him. That's very interesting.
Very.
So lost in all this is that Sensational Sherry died. They threw up a graphic. They didn't do a video for her or anything, which I thought was kind of shitty because she was such a big part of, a lot of the early or late 80s, WWF stuff, big part of WCW. So yeah, rest in peace, Sensational Sherry. She ruled.
That was a very shocking passing at the time. Mm-hmm. She just got into the Hall of Fame. She did the stuff with Kurt a couple of years prior, relatively young. I don't think she was much older than 50, if she was even that. 50. You know, so 49. Yeah, she wasn't even 50. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
She was a manager for Bobby Roode at the end
of the... Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. They did bring her in for a little bit.
That was her last televised appearance.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Melina and Jillian defeat Candice and Mickey. And then we get Cena and Lashley against Booker T and Orton. Jaron King seemed to think that Lashley and Orton have never wrestled each other before. Lashley and Booker, they wrestled in the King of the Ring final last year.
They wrestled for most of 2006.
Yes. Pretty fun match. Randy pins Lashley, gets the win. Makes sense. You were going to pin Cena.
Right.
I thought maybe they'd have Cena pin Booker, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Stephanie McMahon was in that other limo, so now she's here. Snitsky will also be here next week.
Well,
yeah. Stephanie goes to the ring. Next week will be a celebration of life for Vince. Well. And at Vengeance, we'll find out what really happened to him, which we also will not.
Surely not. So, move to ECW, June 19th, from Charlotte, North Carolina. Chris Benoit beat Elijah Burke to advance the ECW World Title match at Vengeance. Mm-hmm. We had a Boogeyman squash. Kevin Thorne beat Tommy Dreamer. Johnny Nitro defeated Nunzio. And Monty Brown wrestled CM Punk in a match to also determine who was going to go to Vengeance Night of Champions for the ECW title.
Yes.
Punk won. This was the last time that Monty Brown ever wrestled on WWE TV. Also, it's best remembered for a stare down for a match they never wanted happening for obvious reasons.
Yes.
So that was really something.
Yeah. Who knew that
yeah.
this would be the final time ever that in a WWE ring we'll be seeing the great Monty Brown.
Yeah. No,
Pounce, man.
No one really knows like definitively what happened. It seems like someone in his family passed away and had kids to take care of, and he just went all in on that. He's doing personal training in Saginaw now, which is where he was from. And I mean, he had to play in a Super Bowl and work WrestleMania in Detroit. So I'm sure he is fine with how things turned out in his life. Honestly, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think if anything, like, you're just upset you never won the NWA title.
Yeah, he should have.
Closest to, and he absolutely should have. He was the man in TNA.
Jeff didn't do it. Early days
of Impact, and yeah, Jeff Jarrett fucked up on that one.
Yep.
Okay. SmackDown, June 22nd, Charlotte, North Carolina. We're kicking things off with Cutting Edge. 2 weeks ago, Edge conducted his last interview of Vince's life. Even though Vince put Edge in another match against Batista, he had no hard feelings towards Vince. He wants to know who could have done this. Sometimes it's the people you least suspect. So he brings out Torrie Wilson. Tori's not particularly thrilled that Edge brought her out under those pretenses, but Edge says that Tori tried to seduce Vince and Vince said no, so maybe she was bitter. MVP came out and suggested that Tori takes a lie detector test.
Jesus.
Ric Flair came out and Tori left, and then MVP and Edge beat him up, but then Batista came out and Teddy Long made a tag team match for the main event. Tribal Noble defeat Shannon Moore and Jimmy Wang Yang. Mark Henry squashes Funaki. Teddy Long says life is short and he wants to talk about something with Crystal, but he's going to go do it publicly. Yikes. Matt Hardy defeats Finlay. Still kind of unclear what they're doing with Matt Hardy at this point, as it's been since he came back 2 years ago.
Yeah. But,
you know, he's having a good time.
He is.
The Major Brothers are coming to SmackDown soon. That will be very big for them.
It will be. Teddy Long asked Crystal to marry him, and she kind of just left without giving an answer.
Yeah.
Great.
Not ideal.
His masters squashed a guy after that. Real eventful stuff. Crystal decided then to accept Teddy's proposal after all, so that's nice, and hopefully everything works out for them. The investigator is back.
It really doesn't matter.
It really does not matter.
I mean,
Batista pinned Edge to leave.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Rocketmoney.com/cancel.
His team to victory in the main event, which means he will not be winning Sunday.
That's how it goes. All right. Vengeance, Night of Champions, June 24th, 2007, from the Toyota Center in Houston. Hardys and Kata Murdoch for the World Tag Championships. And before every match, they introduced people who used to hold those belts. So for the tag titles, it was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, who did not actually hold those titles. They held NWA tag titles, but whatever.
Yeah,
Mike Rotunda, of course, will have
completely accurate.
Yeah.
Who will have his impact felt on WWE again in just a couple of years.
Also, maybe the most boring wrestler I've ever watched.
I'm sorry, who?
Mike Rotunda. IRS.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit about IRS, but who does?
Terrible.
How dare you besmirch Mr. Wall Street?
Which, by the way, shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. That was a wonderful way to say I just got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of the matches that the Hardys and Cade Murdoch have had. This one wasn't very good. Murdoch pushes Jeff off the top rope, and Cade pins him for the win, and that's that, then. Hardys are basically done teaming until after at WrestleMania 33, honestly, because they have they're going to feud with each other at some point.
Did they team with TNA?
Oh, yeah, they did there.
They did,
but
yeah.
I don't think they team too regularly in WWE again after this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they start Jeff's singles push.
Yeah.
He's going to be fighting Orton for the title at the Rumble.
Yeah. Charmel and Booker discussing tonight's championship challenge. Booker runs down his accolades, says he's ready to add to them this evening. Chavo Guerrero defeats Jimmy Wang Yang to retain the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yep. Then Lashley told Todd Grisham that he was not focused on the investigation, but he's focused on trying to win the WWE title.
Yes.
Fair enough.
CM Punk's here for his ECW Championship match. His opponent ends up being Johnny Nitro. I just, you know, Johnny Nitro wins.
The beginning of the Shaman of Sexy, the Monday Night Delight.
Yes.
John Morrison.
Mick Foley and Randy Orton talk trash backstage, reference their previous feud, which I thought was a really good callback.
It was a good callback, yeah.
Santino retains the Intercontinental title after Umaga gets disqualified for not listening to the ref. Fair. The Jackass crew is going to be at SummerSlam.
I don't recall this.
I didn't either. I remember them being on Raw, but I don't... I wonder
if they actually were. I feel like I would have remembered that. Maybe they were.
Obviously a long and storied relationship between WWE and Jackass at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
MVP defeats Ric Flair to retain the United States Championship in front of Magnum TA.
You know, that's a good win for MVP.
It is, yes.
It's a good win for MVP, especially considering the situation.
Yes. Deuce and Domino defeat Sergeant Slaughter and Jimmy Snuka, which, I mean, it's cool because Jimmy Snuka is the one guy's dad. I don't remember which one, but, like, also I don't want to watch Jimmy Snuka wrestle in 2007.
No.
So. And then we go to Edge and Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. Not a bad match compared to their first one, which I didn't really like. They have clearly been, you know, working on the house shows a little bit more and getting more familiar with each other. Because before this, they didn't really face each other. They had the triple threat match with Jericho for the Intercontinental title, but that was about it, and that was three years before that. So, yeah, I thought this was good. Edge can't be disqualified or lose the belt, but he also can't put Batista away. So eventually he'll attack him on the outside and win by countout. It's supposed to be Batista's last chance, but maybe he'll get one more because of the way he lost.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll have to see.
Candice
beat Melina to win the women's championship. So good for Candice.
Yeah, I was going to say good for Candice. She actually does like legitimately improve.
Yeah.
From where she was at when they first started. So good for her.
Yes.
She's going to have a decently sized ring with this title, if I remember correctly. So once again, good for her for legitimately finding a way to improve, especially in that era.
Yes.
Not exactly easy.
Then it is time for the WWE Championship Challenge match. John Cena versus Randy Orton versus Booker T versus Bobby Lashley versus Mick Foley.
They didn't call it a fatal five-way at the time.
They did not.
The five-way sudden death match.
And this match is a blast.
It is.
I didn't expect it to be as fun as it was. I've never seen this show. This match is great. Everyone just kind of gets their shit in. They really focus on Cena and Lashley as like the two big guys. And, you know, Orton does his stuff kind of trying to fend off Foley. And, you know, they're building to Cena and Lashley at Great American Bash, which is also great. Excited to talk about that. But, Cena gets the win by pinning Foley with the FU, which, I mean, it was either going to be Booker or Foley that he pinned. And, I liked it. They got, like, 12 minutes. Everyone just kind of throws bombs the whole time. It's a really fun match. And Cena retains, and we are done with June because there's no Raw the next week, and we're just not going to talk about any of that, so.
Nah. Cena, might as well give it to Cena, but that's all the match really had to be. It was just kind of like a 10-minute fun little sprint. By the way, Deuce. Deuce is Jimmy Snuka's
team. Oh, yeah.
And I really miss Cherry. So that's it. If you guys have anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. You know, excited to get into July here. I don't really remember July 2007 all that well. Yeah, so, I mean, there's some interesting stuff coming out of the draft. So maybe.
The summer is a fever dream to me.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with the Benoit stuff, but then you're also dealing with the scandal that pops up and and Kali being champion. So, yeah. I want to run that back and see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So, Rob's at RobOneNeil31. Chris is at ChrisMNovak. I am at Cameron Santo. You can follow me there at Barbershare Network. Or at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. If you can't access Twitter, if you can't, you know, just go on Instagram. It's the same. Getting lots of good stuff in the works. We'll have a 40-40 that will be coming out same time as this. New stuff copped up for football season, more stuff, more life. I don't know what to talk about. I mean, it's time for me to get the fuck up out of here. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We will see you in the month of July. Take care.